majesty, ruling long before the worlds were formed. Yet when darkness claimed his own, he stepped from heaven's throne to bear a cross and wear a crown of thorns. So high the price he paid, the nails across the grave, such pardon he bestowed, such grace he showed. No greater sacrifice, he gave his very life, so deep the love, so high the price. Son of God, so willingly he took our place, clothed in robes of frail humanity.
Fragile flesh and blood, priceless crimson flood,
offered up for sin at Calvary. So high the price he paid, the nails across the grave, such pardon he bestowed, such grace he showed. No greater sacrifice, he gave his very life, so deep the love, so high the price.
Buried like a beggar in a borrowed tomb, everything for nothing, so it seemed. But death could never stand against the nail-scarred hands and power of heaven's resurrected King.
So high the price he paid, the nails, the cross, the grave, such pardon he bestowed, such grace he showed. No greater sacrifice, he gave his very life, so deep the love, so high the price, so deep the love, the love, so high the price, so high the price.
All right, thank you. Let's, I hope you got a handout. Do we pass those out tonight? We're back in the book of Proverbs. Can I get a little bit here on the monitor? It's a little bit more on the monitor. We've been working through the subject here for the last several weeks on relationships, wisdom in relationships. We understand, of course, that the two greatest commands are to love God, which everybody buys into that one. That's yeah, well, I love God. And then the second one is to love others, okay? Loving others can be a little bit tougher, but God wants us to do that. So God wants us to work on having the blessings in our relationships. And as I said, half jokingly, but really not jokingly, some of the greatest blessings in life come through relationships, and also some of the greatest irritations in life come through relationships. And that's just how it is. So if that's going to be how it is, let's make sure that we're working to make our relationships the best that we possibly can. One reason that we struggle in our relationships is basically just a violation or ignorance of not understanding some basic biblical principles that God tells us, which will help us in our relationships. And so that's where we are at. Last time we looked at several. I'll just read them to you. We looked at 11, 12, and 13. We said number 11, we must understand sometimes we can't settle a disagreement with someone alone. Number 12, when we offend somebody, it will bring a distance that may never be restored. And then number 13, a friend is more about what you are, not what you have. Okay? We looked at those last time. Now, let's look at this one. Number 14. When you see a potential argument is coming. By the way, how many of you have ever seen that? Come on. How many of you, you just kind of like, I've driven down this road before. I've seen this movie. I know how it ends. I sense it, okay? It's like, yeah, it's not our first rodeo. Hey, what do you do? Do all you can to avoid it. Now, I understand. As soon as I said that, that is so much easier said than done, okay? Proverbs 17:14 says this. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. In 2012 in Colorado, there was a huge wildfire. The man who actually noticed the wildfire and reported it to authorities first was actually a volunteer fireman himself. After it was all said and done, they found out that he had actually started the fire on purpose. Now, he did not do it thinking that it was going to get out of control. He just said he was out and just thought, I just want to experience what it's like to get a little fire going. And he found out that it got out of control a lot faster than he realized. That's kind of how arguments are. That's kind of how contention is. It may start small, but it has a tendency just to get totally out of control if we're not careful. That is why it's best to do what we can, not to let it escalate. We think that we can control it. Well, let's just do this and it'll be all right, but you can't. Conflicts and relationships. When one letteth out, as the Bible says here, the beginning of strife is as one letteth out water. It's the picture of to set free, to let burst. You know, you see it coming and the water's starting to build up and it's going to break forth and you don't want that to happen. But it happens all too often in relationships. It's building up and it breaks out. By the way, that's a pretty good description of what happens when there's a conflict. So we need to make sure that we don't let the water out. If we see it coming or we're participating in it in some way, we need to have enough wisdom and enough self-control to make sure we do what we can to keep it from getting started. How can we do this? I think these are in your notes. There are several things that we need to be very careful of so we don't let the water out. First of all, it's the words we use. You realize once those words leave your lips, they ain't coming back. They're going to hit their target every single time. And sometimes we're in a, and we start saying things, and there's this little voice in the back of our head that says, it's either the Holy Spirit, it's not Satan for sure, that's like, come, don't say it. Don't go there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Let's be honest here tonight, okay? All right, well, let's put it this way. How many of you are married? Okay, if you were married and you did not raise your hand the first time, you are a liar, okay? And it's like, don't say it. And there's something, and it's like, we just say it anyhow. The words we use. Sometimes we're like throwing gasoline on the fire. We need to be very, very careful. Sometimes if we feel we have something to say, that would be a really good time not to say it. Did you get that? Sometimes, I just got to say something. That's a really good time. Just don't. It's not going to help. So the words we use. Next, the attitude we display. You can say something without saying something. The look. You know, why are they all mad? I didn't say anything. I know. You didn't have to say anything. Your face did it for you. Okay? Your body, by the way, when you raise kids, you knew that, right? You discipline them, and then they walk away, and they throw the little, guess what? That doesn't fly. It's like, turn it down, come right back. I didn't say anything. You did. You said it with your attitude, and your attitude's more important than really what you're saying. Be very, very careful that we're not displaying something that's going to take a situation and is going to push it out farther than we want it to go. Here's one. Not listening. Not listening. Okay? Hear what the other person is saying so you can totally ignore it. Just kidding. We don't hear it. We don't want to. At that point, we're just throwing out what we want to throw out, and they're throwing out what they want to throw out, and stuff's being thrown everywhere, and it's landing in all of the wrong places. Communication takes two things. Number one, it takes speaking, but number two, it takes listening. And so it's very important that we listen. If you can't communicate, you will not have a relationship. That's just all there is to it. And don't let the communications escalate. Listen to each other. And sometimes, and I'm not going to be, you know, if someone's a little more, say, emotional than the other partner, I'm not going to say who. Typically, they carry purses. Sometimes you don't listen to what they say, although that's really hard not to do that. You don't listen to what they say. Try to understand why they're saying it. Try to get the gist of what's behind it. Because sometimes it's not what they say. So-and-so told me this, and I was upset. It's like, I get it. But it's not what they said. You got to understand why they said it. Okay? And if you can't pick that up, you're going to have a hard time, as we all do in life. Next, the timing is not right. The timing is not right. There's a time to deal with things. There's a time to talk about things. But you know, sometimes there's a time not to talk about things. Right? Sometimes what you need is a good night's rest. Sometimes it's like, let it go for another day. Now's not the time. And so there's wisdom in understanding that. So what's the best advice when it comes to this? Start it. Stop it before it can get started or before it gets out of control. Funny. Back at the old church building, how many of you used to attended when we were on Pacific at all? Anybody? Raise your hand. Raise your hand high if you did at Pacific. Okay, a lot of you never been to that building. And guess what? Let me just explain something to you. You weren't missing much. Okay? But over at Pacific, we had like a little thin, long auditorium. And it didn't have a baptistry, but there was like a little room in the corner. Like if this was a platform, up here it'd be like a little room. It was just really tiny. And we kind of knocked something out so we could, and literally we stuffed a horse trough in there, and that was the baptistry. Okay? And there was no room in that thing. I mean, you know, when you baptize, you got to kind of like, and there it was, right? It was a horse trough. So my job was to fill the horse trough early on Sunday mornings. And there was a little fireside room there where my Sunday school class was, and there was a little door in the corner. So I would take the hose through the window. There was a window, and there was an outside hose, and I would drag it in, and I'd put it inside the horse trough. And so you remember this, right, Albert? Thanks for laughing. And so I put it in there, and I think I had some kid out there, hey, turn it on for me. And they turned it on, and they took off running. And I put the hose in there, and it starts to fill up, and I walked away. As I walked away, I looked back at the hose. We understand the principle of propulsion. And what happened is the pressure of the water started bringing the hose out. So you know what's going to happen, right? So I looked at it, and I just had a split second to make a decision. The first decision is run and go grab it before it comes out. The second decision is get out of there, let it get some water on the carpet as I run outside and turn it off. And I hesitated for a split second before I made the decision to go ahead and go grab it. Now, if I had made that decision a split second earlier, all would have been well. But I got there just in time for it to fly out, and I was soaked. Okay? It would have been better for me to get over there ahead of time and get it out than let it get out of control. That's how we are in our relationships. That's how we are in our conflict. We can stop it. We can keep it from happening. But yet we don't. And we get burned for it. You remember Barney Fife? He's one of my one of the best preachers I've ever met. Remember what he used to say? Nip it in the bud. Cut it before it grows. I think that's what Jesus meant in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. They desire to keep the peace and make peace as opposed to whatever else is going to be going on. One reason so many of us let the situations get out of control is because we would rather be right than do right. And if we're all honest, we've made that wrong decision before. We've decided, I want to be right, instead of just letting it go and doing right. Romans 12, 18. If it be possible. Okay, sometimes it's not, so there's a little out. But if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, to the best of your ability, live peaceably with all men. Now, there are some you can't live peaceably with. There are some, they are just bound and determined, and you just got to do the best you can. But with everything within us, to the best of our ability, let us try to live peaceably with everybody. We don't know the difference between when we should stand for something or when we ought to just sit this one out, right? That's what we need to learn. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosoms, in the bosom of fools. Just be willing to let it go. And say, I want to get mad. Hold on to it for, say, I'll get mad in an hour. And usually it'll go away. Number 15. Don't allow yourself to be sucked into an argument by someone who desires to start one. Don't be sucked into an argument by someone who desires to start one. And there are people like this. There are people, they just enjoy it. They just enjoy going back and forth. I mean, if you say the sky is blue, they're going to say it's yellow. If you say grass is green, they're going to say it's black. If you said grass is black, they're going to say it's green. They just like that whole, that contention, that argumentative thing. Debaters, they all want to be lawyers, okay? Just get after it. Proverbs 26, verse 21, here we go. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Coals and wood are the fuel thrown on to keep a fire going. And of course, it's used to get the fire started in the first place. Kindle means to cause to burn. A contention man wants to kindle. That's a fire type thing, to start it, to get it burning. Okay? Some people are just like that. We have to be very careful. This goes with the last point, but it's related to people who are trying to start a disagreement and are good at turning it in that direction. And it takes a whole lot of discipline not to. And sometimes it's discipline we just don't possess. They're not going to be conterred. That's why they're called a contentious man. They're just contentions. You ever work with someone like that? Okay? They know you're a Christian at your job, and they're not a Christian, and so they're constantly going to pick at you. And then if you pick back, you're not being very Christian. You're a bad example and all of that nonsense. They just keep pushing at it and pushing it and pushing it. We have to be very careful that we don't let them get away with it. It takes a higher level of long suffering to get through this. They're like an angry man. Look at Proverbs 22, 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou should learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. The best thing to do is just avoid someone like that. Avoid. Well, you know, where I work, they're in the break room and they're trying to do this. Don't eat in the break room. I don't know how many times, and I worked with a very small crew. Last time I worked at a place like that in the secular, we worked at a warehouse, and there'd be five of us in the midnight shift, and we're in the break room. And sometimes they'd be talking about ridiculous things. I'd just go somewhere else. I didn't want to hear it. You know, could have jumped on the table and said, you're all pagans. And, you know, there was temptation to maybe do that, but it wouldn't work. So it's just like, I'm just not going to eat here. I'll go sit out in the warehouse by myself. I just don't want to hear it. I want to be around it. And sometimes you just got to get away from it. I like Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Well, that's good preaching. You know, you can get a message. I ain't a wood. Okay, I get that. And that's a good message. But that's not what it says. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Listen, if there's no one there that's going to cause trouble, then there's not going to be any trouble. And sometimes they're not going to leave, so guess who needs to leave? You need to leave. Sometimes they're not going to, they're not going to refrain from speaking. They're not going to shut up. So you have to refrain from speaking. Okay, that's just how it is. Sometimes you get a relationship and it's on edge and you have two people. And sometimes you can get to the point where one of the people is just, they're just waiting for something to be able to cause a problem. And it can be any relationship. And so just be very careful. Number 16. You ladies can take this any way you want. It's more of an encouragement to you, okay? It's not a getting on you. It's an encouragement. The wife has a great deal of power as to the spirit and temperature of the home and marriage. Now, we're going to talk about this for a few minutes. I will give a disclaimer. Men, you're a knucklehead too, and you can mess this whole thing up. We'll get to you in a few minutes, okay? But let's go with this one. Proverbs 27:15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. You know, like at your house, if your rain gutter's right outside your window, and you just hear the water going over the edge and kind of hitting the thing, it's like continual dropping. It just keeps coming. Now, we've had a good winter with rain, but typically we don't. But you just hear the water. It's just continue. It's just ongoing. Okay? Well, that's the picture of a contentious wife. It's just always, 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 always there. You say, well, what? It's irritating. Okay? It grades on you. Someone's sleeping on the couch tonight, Ryan. You meant that for other people, right? Because your arm's still around your wife. Her hand's going to be around your throat in a minute. Proverbs 21:19. By the way, let me say this. Solomon had 1,000 of them, so he knew what he was talking of, okay? If you got 1,000, you're going to have a couple bad apples. But he could just send them packing. Proverbs 21:19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness. Now, when we think of wilderness, we think of green trees and fruit. No, wilderness is desert, okay? It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. You know what that means? I want out of here. Send me to the far side of the desert with no sunscreen. I can't take this anymore. Okay, that's. I didn't say that. Solomon did. So yell at him when you get to heaven. Proverbs 19, verse 13. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. And these are the ones with contentious in it. Look at how a lady that sets a bad spirit is pictured. Continual dropping. Constant dripping that is irritating. Better to dwell in the wilderness. Running away to the desert, just want to get away from it. And again, continual dropping. It will never stop. What does that mean? You'll cause your family to never want to come home. Okay? Now, early in our study, we've been doing this since 2 years, but early in the study, we talked about the virtuous woman, and we mentioned some of this. By the way, there's an attack, and don't buy into it, ladies. There's an attack on ladies being virtuous, godly, real women in our society. Don't let society mold you into their ridiculous mold, okay? Someone's going to trample all over you. No, read all of Proverbs 31. That lady was on the ball. She had it going. Okay, that wasn't happening. You know, these ridiculous ladies that protest right after Trump was elected. Okay? Can I just tell you something? And by the way, I shouldn't have said ridiculous ladies. They were not ladies. They do not represent womanhood in this country. They were vile. I can't even tell you. So they were vile. They were pathetic. That's not womanhood. That's not. Womanhood is uplifted in the Bible. You know, so they, well, yeah, if you're a woman like that, you're trampled on and you're, no, it isn't. It's not demeaning at all. It's high and exalted and lifted up in God's eyes. And so don't buy into that nonsense. Most of those types are more concerned about killing unborn babies. They don't even know what a real woman is. By the way, the fact that they would be so interested in that is like their pet doctrine. That's the complete opposite of a lady. When we think of a lady, we think of nurturing and caring about children. And then you have that bozo Hillary that gets up and abortion is okay up until right before the baby's born. That day, you have to have some kind of seared, godless conscience to believe that. To believe that you can do it no matter when. That's not a lady. That's where ladyhood has fallen. But don't be like that. That's an indictment. By the way, without mothers, where would we be? We would all be in trouble. We're going to play that video. And if you didn't remember the video we showed, I think, on Mother's Day last year, the hardest job in the world. How many remember that? We're going to show it again this Mother's Day. That's right. That is it right there. And being a wife and being a lady. Now look, let me just say this, and I don't mean this in a negative way. I thank God I'm not a lady. I like being a guy. By the way, you guys ought to be that way too. Well, I can go somewhere and they'll change me. No! Change you. Just because you put a dress on and carry a purse doesn't make you a lady any more than sleep in the garage makes me a car. No, but I'm glad I'm a man. I don't want to be a lady. And by the way, if you're a lady, thank God you're a lady. You shouldn't want to be a man. Be what God made you. Okay, this isn't a better best scenario. I don't even know what that has to do with this, but I'm feeling pretty good. Oh, let's get back to the point. You have great power. Don't deny that. You have tremendous, godly, great influence. Use it. By the way, commercial break. If you can go to ladies' conference, I'd encourage you to go. If at all possible. And not because we're trying to have a bunch of ladies there. I just know it's good for you to be able to get away every now and then. Look, stick the husband in a closet. Grab his credit card. Get after it. Go. Have a great time with the ladies and be encouraged. We all need that sometimes. But one of the most important things in development of a great family is the spirit of the home and marriage. All families have a certain spirit to them, right? It's the personality, and it's this, and it's that. Our personality, I can't quite figure it out. I think ours is sarcasm, and someone gave us a plaque. Some call it family. We call it, it's not in our house anymore. You guys remember what it was? Huh? Chaos. Thank you, Lauren. She knows. You know, a spirit. Every family has their own spirit. That's just how they are. Our family, you know, don't say something if you're looking for sympathy because you ain't getting any, all right? You're going to get jumped on, and there's going to be sarcasm coming your way. And so if you marry into our family, you got to deal with that, all right? But that's how we are. But there's a spirit. But let me say, all of the families, you got to have a good spirit. And I'm going to tell you who the number one cheerleader when it comes to the spirit of the home is. It's just the way it is. It's the wife. You have great opportunity there. There's better ways to communicate what you need if your husband... Look, there are better ways, ladies, for you to communicate to your husband if he's a semi-decent guy than constant complaining and nagging. Okay? By the way, I'll just tell you something. That doesn't work. If I wanted to do something and my wife says, Steve, do this, all of a sudden, I'm going to do it. Why? Because she said do it, okay? I ain't doing it. So if she wants me to do something, like, hey, Steve, don't do this. Like, don't tell me what to do. I'm going to do it right now. Ladies, if you were smart, you could play us like a drum. I'm serious. It is so. Look, he comes home like, wow, you look great. Now, when you're done, go in your room and confess your sin to God. You lied. wow, thank you so much. Did you have a hard day? Well, hey, either that shirt shrunk or maybe your arms are getting a little bit bigger there. And then it's like, oh, by the way, I cooked your favorite meal. Have a seat. Would you like some coffee? Listen, if you do that, it's like, take the whole wallet, go do what you want. Okay? Look, we're so easy. Now, some of us, I'm making it a little bit easier than it is, but we are. We like, you know what we like? We don't want chaos. Our house is chaos, but it's a good chaos. We don't want drama. If the first thing that happens when it comes home is like, it's like, I left something in the car and I think it's in Connecticut. See ya. It's not, look it. Remember what we talked about earlier, timing? Back that up and put it in this point. But ladies, you can set a great, great spirit in your family. A husband's greatest need is reverence and respect. He needs you to be his cheerleader. Okay? Not if he's going to the edge of the cliff. Keep going, honey, yeah! No, not that. I mean, he's doing good things. By the way, a positive lady is very attractive. A good spirit is just attractive. It's like, wow, great spirit. Now, ladies, you're trying to hook a guy with your looks and all of that, and have at it, okay? Because that gets a guy's attention. But you know what really attracts him, once you got his attention, is your attitude and your spirit. That's like, that's the biggest thing. Now, men, you're not off the hook. Your wife can set a wonderful spirit, and you come home and you kill it like in 30 seconds. You say, how do you know? I've killed many a spirit. You know, it's just you come in and you're in a bad mood. It's like there's dead bodies everywhere, spiritually speaking. Get out of there. Don't sit there. Don't do this. And it's like, what's wrong with you? That's when the wife says, maybe you should take that trip to Connecticut, you know? Okay, so this isn't, I'm encouraging the ladies here, not as much getting on them, but don't, you men, you can be a knucklehead and you can ruin the spirit of your home too. Okay, that's for if you both are on target and you're trying to do the right thing. Ladies, then you have that freedom from your husband to set the right spirit. And husbands, let's not blow that. And we got on the wives for a few minutes. Let me just back it up here and let's run over you a couple times. Maybe the reason sometimes the wife quits trying to set that spirit is because she has often tried to set that spirit only to come in and have you blow it up. So it's a two-way street. But I'm just saying, ladies, let's, because I'm not a lady, remember? I'm glad to be a man. But let's do what we can to set that spirit, okay? And a lot of it's about timing. You say, well, there's something I need to deal with. And by the way, guys, don't go home and say, well, honey, you know, something's going on. Like, hey, honey, don't you remember what it said in Proverbs? I'm going to the wilderness. You know, your wife starts talking. You're like, I can't hear you. Trip, trip, trip. Listen, if you pull that stuff, she deserves to drip. She ought to drip bricks on your head. Okay, let the Bible preach to her. Don't you preach to her. But ladies, you have that opportunity. And if things need to be brought up, bring it up at the right time. Okay, and let's just work. You have a tremendous opportunity. And you want that. Home ought to be a place that you enjoy to go to and you don't want to leave. Martin Luther, he was not one of my favorite guys. Now, I know he started the Reformation, and if he wouldn't have started the Reformation, who knows? Okay, that's right. Martin Luther had all kinds of problems, but he had a good wife. After he was a former priest, and he came out of the Catholic Church because he won Reformation and started it, and so someone told him, hey, you know, you said the priest should marry. Why don't you go ahead and get married? And he's like, I don't really want to do it. And what they were doing is they were helping nuns escape the monastery because he didn't believe in that anymore, and then he would try to help them find wives, and one of them said, you know, I'd kind of like to marry you, and said that jokingly, and next thing you know, they were married. But he said of his wife, he said, she was the kind of lady that made me never want not want to leave home and always made me happy that I came home. That's the kind of spirit we should set. And by the way, husbands, your wife should feel that same way about you. But let's work on setting the spirit of the home and it's 8 o'clock. We'll stop right there. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful.